Leah asked a question last week. She asked, what was the world like before God created? And you know, when it says in the beginning in Genesis, it's not the beginning of all things, it's simply the beginning of Earth, planet Earth, and man's role on planet Earth. It's the beginning of human history. It's not the beginning of God. God has no beginning and no end. You guys probably know this joke, some of you. A scientist was debating with God. He told God, you know, we really don't need you anymore, God. We can clone people and we can cure all kind of diseases and everything, and we really don't need you anymore. And God says, okay, how about we put that theory to the test? And the scientist says, okay. And God says, let's create something simple. How about a blade of grass? And the scientist says, okay, I can create a blade of grass. And the scientist reaches down and picks up a handful of dirt to plant the seed in, and God says, get your own dirt. So you see, no matter how far we think we've advanced, God is still in control. It's amazing. I was talking to some of these guys last week. We can't make a drop of water. We know what comprises a drop of water. What is it? Two hydrogen molecules and an oxygen molecule. It's all it takes to make a drop of water. We know that. We can't make it. It's amazing the things we take for granted. So what was the universe like before God created? The only clue that comes from the Bible describes the creation of the earth. There's nothing about what was out there, except it was just everything was void. Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. That tells us that it was above water, okay? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So at the beginning, when God created, the first thing he created was this great big ball of water that we call planet Earth. The visible universe we observe today, the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies, were created in a single instant on what day? Who knows what day? Day 4, okay? And Gretel and me were talking yesterday, and you can use something in the sermon here for your conversation. We'll get to it here. So on day 2, God separated the waters from the land, and God created a landmass. And most biblical theologians think it was one big landmass until the flood of Noah, and then the continents got dispersed all over the world at that point. The earth is an amazing thing. And we're not going to get into it a lot, but I'm going to give you short snippets of the creation of God. We know the center of the earth is about 4,000 miles from where we're standing right now. From any point on the earth, it's 4,000 miles to get to the center. We've only been able to ever drill down a little less than 6 miles. The one thing that geologists and scientists and NASA and all these people think that we'll never be able to do is get to the center of the earth. They think we'll be able to explore the other planets and colonize the moon and all this stuff, but we'll never be able to reach the center of the earth. We'll never possess that technology. We know more about the surfaces of Pluto and Jupiter and Mars than we do about the center of our own Earth. The core of the Earth, the middle part, the ball of fire in the middle, is estimated to be about 13,000 degrees. That's pretty hot. We don't burn up from the Earth being that hot. We don't burn up because the same reason, like when you go out in the wintertime and it's really cold and it's like -5 degrees and the wind's blowing, and how do you dress? Layers. You put layers of clothes on. We don't burn up from the center of the earth for the same reason. It's made up of layers, and those layers are absorbing that heat. And so by the time it gets to the surface of the earth, we have our normal temperature, and we can walk on the ground in our bare feet and not burn up. It's the same reason. One of those layers, the top layer, is soil, dirt. Soil is a living organism. We don't like to think about that. We're not going to get into that too much, but soil and dirt is comprised of living things, okay? There are trillions and trillions of microbes in the dirt beneath our feet. And what those microbes do is they put nutrients into the soil. And then when they put nutrients into the soil, it allows plants to grow. Soil holds water, and it breaks down carbon dioxide. Without the dirt being the way it is, we couldn't survive on planet Earth because carbon dioxide is poisonous to us. And so we would die without the soil. Soil was created by Jesus, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, on day number two of creation. God also tells us in his word how to treat the soil and how to get the most out of the soil. And what God said is, you're going to, and farmers know this, you can plant for 6 years, and on the seventh year, you let that particular plot of land sit fallow. You don't plant in it. You come over here and plant. And the reason is because it takes those microbes time to put nutrients back into the soil. So when you plant plants, they have nutrients to grow. And so God told us this. He told the Hebrews this 6,000 years ago. But we somewhere along the line forgot that. We neglected to do things God's way. So back in the 1930s, this led to a little thing we call the Dust Bowl. Can you bring up the first slide, Zach? It's what the Dust Bowl looked like. Let's see, what they did is they kept planting the same crops in the same areas for year after year after decade, and the soil couldn't take it anymore. And so they planted the seeds, but there was no nutrients there. And so the soil became dust, and this lasted for a decade. This lasted for 10 years, the entire length of the 1930s. And dust was over the whole western part of the United States and the midwestern part of the United States. It actually reached all the way to the Statue of Liberty and the Capitol in Washington, D.C. And it's because we didn't do things God's way. Slide number two, Zach, please. This is the most iconic image to come out of the Dust Bowl. This is a 32-year-old mom. She had seven children. This is taken, picture was taken out in California. And you can see the absolute despair on her face. See, when there's no plants, there's no food, and the prices skyrocket. And this came right on the heels of the stock market crash, and so people were already without money, without jobs, and then right at that same time, the next year, this hit. But as the ground sat fallow for those 10 years, nobody planted on it, the wind and the dust had blown away the top layers, and the microbes were working in the soil again. And so there began to be nutrients in the sand, in the dirt again. Keep in mind, Jesus created the earth. Jesus created the soil. And now Jesus is going to create something else, Genesis 1:11. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. Okay, this is important, okay? Apple seeds produce what kind of trees? Apple trees, okay? Fig trees produce what? Figs, okay? Peach trees produce what? They can't make an apple seed make a peach or a banana or a grape. Doesn't work like that because that's how God made it. It's the same reason that a dog and a cat can't mate and come up with a hybrid of the animals. Okay, it doesn't work. God created it that way on purpose. So this is God on day three. So God creates the plants. The plants create seeds. The seeds drop into the soil, and more plants grow. The process was meant to continue on forever, okay, in the Garden of Eden. Side trip, Gretel, to disprove evolution. What do plants need to survive? Three things. What do they need? What is it? Sunshine? Water? Soil. Three things. Now, there's a thing called the gap theory, and it was invented by a pastor because he wanted to reconcile Christianity with the theory of evolution. And the gap theory is that God did create in 6 days, but the 6 days were millions of years apart. There was a million years between the first day and the second day, a million years between the second day and the third day. Now, here's the problem for people who believe that. He, by the way, committed suicide when he found out that that wasn't real, that that wasn't true. Here's the problem. God created the sun on day 4. He created the plants on day 3. What do plants need to survive? Sunlight. So if God created the plant life on day number 3, and there was a million years until God created the sun, how did the plant survive? Couldn't have happened. The sun was created just hours after the plants were created on day 3. Plants are amazing things. We couldn't exist without plants. We breathe in oxygen. We breathe in air, and the air has oxygen and carbon dioxide. And so we breathe this in, and we exhale it. We keep the oxygen for ourselves, and we exhale the carbon dioxide. See, plants are just the opposite. Plants need carbon dioxide to survive, and so they take in the same air, and they put off oxygen. They actually create oxygen, but they hang on to the carbon dioxide. They're amazing things. This is called photosynthesis, okay? And it keeps the earth balanced with the correct amount of oxygen to sustain life. Plants are the main source on planet Earth of food, clothing, shelter, vitamins, minerals, and fuels. They vary in size from little tiny grasses and even smaller to the great sequoias. We call sequoias redwood trees. There's actually 3 varieties of sequoias, redwoods being one of them. Redwood trees only grow in a 260-mile stretch in the Sierra Nevada mountains. That's the only place they grow in the world. Can you bring up next slide, please, Zach? Gives you an idea how big these trees are. You can see the kids here trying to stretch around the tree. Pictures don't do them justice, but this probably gives you a good idea. I know some of you have been out there. Ed and Betty have been out, and some of the other you guys have been out there. They can live for over 3,000 years. The bark on this tree, and there's a reason for this, the bark on this tree is 3 feet thick, about that far. That's how thick the bark is on these things. And there's a reason for that. The world's tallest sequoia is taller than a 26-story building. The General Sherman redwood tree is thought to be the oldest living organism. Ed has a picture of it over his house in the world, and Mitch Lynn too. They produce, on average, and this is why their bark is so thick, they produce, on average, 1 offspring every 20 years. Now, here's the thing with the offspring. They drop pine cones. They're pine trees, okay? So they drop pine cones. Pine cones, if you didn't know, are seeds. And the only thing that can open those pine cones is a forest fire. And so when a forest fire comes through, the bark is thick enough to protect the trees, but the fire opens up those pine cones and lets the seed go into the earth to create another giant redwood tree. It's amazing how God made this universe. Slide number 4. This will give you an idea how big these trees are. You can see the men there. They just cut down this giant redwood tree. So you can see the immense size of these things. So Jesus created the earth, and Jesus created the soil, and Jesus created the trees. But as we've already said, they needed something else to survive. Genesis 1:16. God made the 2 great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. Here, of course, we're talking about the sun. Next slide, please, Abby. So we're talking about the sun here. The sun's an amazing thing, too. The sun is estimated to be 14 million degrees. I don't know how they measure that, but that's what they tell me. The sun is enormous. In our solar system, what's our solar system? It's all the planets and all the moons, okay? In our solar system, the sun is so big that it takes up 99.86% of the mass in our solar system. 99.9% of all the mass in the solar system is contained in the sun. It's an amazing thing. The reason we don't burn up is because of how God placed the earth in relation to the sun. Over 1 million planet Earths could fit inside the sun. The process of heat and light traveling to planet Earth is called radiation. And that's why we get radiation burns. Radiation is the process by which the core of the sun produces heat and light and energy. It's a process called fusion. The same thing we use in our atomic bombs. The explosion of millions of the strongest nuclear weapons we have on planet Earth would give off less energy than the sun produces every second of every day. The sun is the closest thing to a perfect sphere that man has ever observed. The sun, by the way, it looks white to us, but it's actually comprised of every color known in the universe. And they all come together and it appears white to us. Next slide, please, Abby. The moon. What do we know about the moon? What happened 50 years ago yesterday? What is it? The moon landing? Yeah, everybody said it was yesterday. Anyway, so 50 years ago, what happened? We landed on the moon. And a lot of people don't know this. Neil Armstrong, the first man to set down on the moon, was a devout Christian. And Neil Armstrong took a little kit with him. And when he got on the surface of the moon, you'll notice he steps down and you'll hear him say his famous thing, his famous saying, and we'll get to that in a second. And then they go over to Buzz Aldrin. Who was the next one? Buzz Aldrin. And they show Buzz planting the flag and all that. But while all that's going on, Neil Armstrong's over here and he opens up his kit and he takes out a little thing of wine and a little wafer and he has communion on the moon. And then he said a prayer to God on behalf of mankind on the surface of the moon. So that's the first thing that happened. You won't hear about that on your specials on History Channel and A&E TV and all those. But that's the first thing he did, have communion to God. So what we know about the moon is it causes the tides, high tide and low tide, right? Who's been to the ocean? Everybody been to the ocean? You know why it does that? The moon looks round to us, but it's not. It's shaped like an egg, okay? It's more oblong. And the reason is, as the moon and the earth all orbit around the sun and around each other and everything, as the earth gets to, where's my pointer? Had a pointer. As the earth gets over here, the moon is egg-shaped like this, okay? And so there's less gravitational pull, so the tides go out. And then as the earth comes back around here and they come together, there's more gravitational pull, and so, well, actually it's the opposite, sorry. Actually it's the opposite. The tide goes in over here because of less gravitational pull, and it goes back out here because the moon is pulling on the oceans. And that's why we have high tide and low tides, because of the shape of the moon. The phone in your pocket contains more computer power than the spaceship that landed men on the moon. So you can see what they were dealing with when they decided to go to the moon. There's a dispute, this is just a little side trip. There's a dispute as to what Neil Armstrong said. Most of you know it. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, okay? But people swear that he says that's one small step for a man, one giant step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Neil Armstrong himself said, I practiced this beforehand, and I said one small step for a man, but I've listened to it dozens of times, and NASA cleaned up the tape, and NASA concluded the same thing I did, doesn't make me right, but we concluded the same thing, that he left out the word He simply said, it's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. He probably, in his excitement to be on the moon, forgot that. Now, it makes more sense to say, that's one small step for man, because here he is, the single man, and one giant leap for mankind. And then we went back a couple more times, and back in the 70s, and we've never been back since. So here we are. Before the universe, before the earth was created, there was nothing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what we had. John 1:1-3. Everybody knows these verses by heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. It's really important to remember that. Okay, so here, in the beginning here is the beginning of the creation of planet Earth. Okay, but the Bible simply assumes correctly that God already was. And God has always been. This is an amazing passage. See, while Matthew and Luke begin their Gospels with the genealogy of Jesus, tracing him back to Abraham and Matthew and back to Adam and Luke, John goes even further back and starts his genealogy at the beginning. And so he shows that Jesus is the creator himself. So stay with me for a few minutes, because I'm going to show you guys how much Jesus loves you. And we need to get this, and we really need to grasp this. How much does Jesus love you? Do you understand your value as a human being? Do you understand how important you are? It's hard sometimes because we just go through life. Sometimes it seems like we're just existing today to get to tomorrow, to get to the next day, to get to the next day. Do you know how far Jesus went to offer you eternal life? You know, we've heard this a million times, and it's lost its meaning. Yeah, he was crucified, he was dead, he was buried, he rose on the third day, and now he's up in heaven. And we've heard that so many times, it means absolutely nothing to us. But we really need to meditate on what it cost God and what happened here. It's difficult for our human minds to comprehend what God did for us. The depth of God's love is unfathomable. It means we can think on it forever and never be able to understand it. Listen, here's the thing. No matter what the stature of our lives is, no matter where we are in life, no matter what we've done, what we're doing, or what we're going to do, God loves us. Listen, more than that, God loves you. Many years ago, a tree grew. And as it matured, it started to put off seeds, and wind caught one of those seeds and carried it along, and the wind died down and the seed fell into the soil. And the soil eagerly accepted that little seed and began to nourish it. The little seed sprouted up and strived for the sunlight. It thirsted for the rain that fell. It took in carbon dioxide and expelled oxygen. That oxygen reached the lungs of a little boy. The boy took in deep breaths, listened to the sound of his own breathing. And as he breathed out, the carbon dioxide found its way back to that little tree. The two of them would grow side by side in this world. The tree would grow thick and strong. The boy would grow into a man. They existed peacefully together for years. And one day a man came carrying an axe. The tree was big and beautiful, and its leaves gave off shade from the hot sun that beat down relentlessly. The man didn't care. He took his axe and he began to chop away at that tree. The tree didn't feel any pain, but still it fought. And the man had to strain with all his might, one strike following another. And finally he got through the bark and begins working at the inner tree. The tree began to lose the battle, but still it stood. Two mighty warriors fighting, one to survive and one to destroy. Eventually the tree grew weak. The man took one last mighty swing and the tree fell. No one noticed. The man had work to do. He cut the branches from the tree, one at a time until they were all gone. Then he got other tools, and he began to cut and shape the tree into something that he could use. It was his job, his livelihood, and he was good at it. Meanwhile, the boy had grown into a man and made a couple friends and done some traveling, and like we all do, he missed home and came back home. You know the saying, there's no place like home. And though the man lived a peaceful life, he didn't have a lot of friends. And the friends that he did have only wanted him for what he could do for them, hangers-on. The woodcutter cut two great beams from that tree, strong and sturdy. They carried those beams away outside of town. They had a purpose, a cruel purpose. And the boy had known about that purpose since he was little. The boy, now grown into a man, will be led away. He'll be beaten, tortured, scorned, mocked, spit upon, laughed at, made fun of, deserted, humiliated. One beam from that tree was fixed permanently in a hole in the ground. The other was now carried by legs that were too weak to carry its heavy weight, by arms that had no strength, against a back that had no flesh. The crowds laughed and jeered and mocked. The man fell. He dropped the beam. Another was ordered to pick it up. On they walked, the sun beating down relentlessly, blood dripping from every part of the man's body. Finally, they reached the other beam, the two parts of that tree together again. And then they took one of the man's arms and they stretched it out. And a nail was perfectly placed. And a hammer came down. And pain reverberated throughout the man. In an attempt to escape the pain, he may have drifted in his mind to another time, maybe to today. And in his mind, he saw you, and maybe you, and maybe you. And then they stretch out the other arm, and another nail was placed just so, and a hammer comes down, and the pain jerks him back to reality. The man is now nailed to the beam, and they take the beam and they lift it up and they put it in a notch in the other beam with a jerk, and it falls, and the man falls like this, the whole weight of his body now hanging by two nails. His exposed back is screaming in pain. He's near death. Lots of things could have killed him: the loss of blood, shock, thirst. It's almost over now. Through the agony and the pain, with a throat that was dry and lips that were parched and a tongue that was swollen nearly the size of his mouth because of lack of water, he cries out, "Father, forgive them." And then he died. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? He died on a tree on a planet that he created. He died on a tree that was nourished by the soil that he created. He died on a tree that was fed by the sun that he created. He died nailed to a tree that he created just for that purpose. That's how much God loves you. I love you guys.